I will read the scripture, which is from Matthew 11, 2 to 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word to his disciples and said to them, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Randy, come.
Good morning. Thank you, Janet, for reading the scripture for us and to everyone else involved this morning. It's great to be gathered together. 2 weeks ago in Advent 1, we asked the question, God, what are you waiting for? Now in week 3 of Advent, we turn the question towards an individual reflective question, what am I waiting for? And I like this morning the way we're holding joy and fear kind of together. There's some paradox in that, and I think that's so appropriate to hold some paradox together this morning. The writing committee from the Leader magazine, where we're getting our resources from for Advent, Leader magazine is part of Menno Media. They state that their hope is this question, what we are waiting for, invites a season of reflection, curiosity, celebration, and ultimately courageous hope. I like that. That we are invited to some curiosity and courageous hope. We don't have sharing time during Advent, but one of the things that our worship committee thought we could do sometimes is after the sermon, just to share with your neighbor or maybe three or four around you, just a thought that maybe was stirred in the worship service. So at the end of my sermon, you're going to have an invitation to share with your neighbor. So just keep that in mind of what might be stirring within you. There's a great quote from Henry Nouwen. Advent is a time when we learn how to wait for the Lord who comes in love. How do we learn to wait? Well, one way that we learn how is that we dig into scriptures. God's story. When we dig into God's story, we recognize how God's story becomes a part of our story. We recognize places where our life, we see into the biblical characters. We see connections. Hey, I can join them there. That's part of my story too. And so this morning, the invitation is to make this story here in Matthew 11 and to ask, how is my story fitting into this as well? In Matthew 11, there's an important question that's raised. John has a very important question for Jesus. He asks, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? John is really hopeful that Jesus is the one that everyone has been waiting for, but he wants to make sure. There's a little bit of a question. And so it's worthwhile really digging into the context that John the Baptist is in here to help us understand just how profound this question really is. And might the prophet John's question also become our question? And might the answer that is received also become some of our answers? N.T. Wright, a great theologian and writer, says, one way to try to understand John the Baptist in prison and what he was expecting the Messiah to be, and yet wasn't the reality for him, is to think of the beautiful Handel's Messiah being sung, and everybody knows the familiar songs and is expecting the familiar tune, and then imagine, right in the middle of Handel's Messiah, the soloist comes up and sings a song completely different, beautiful, but not part of Handel's Messiah. We would be surprised. We would say, I wasn't expecting that. And no one saw it coming. N.T. Wright says that's kind of what it must have been like for John the Baptist. He was expecting a certain kind of Messiah, and it wasn't what he was experiencing in that prison cell at that time in Herod's prison. So let's try to imagine, let's try to put ourselves into John the Baptist's context here. We're going to go to a prison cell where we can imagine there's pain, loneliness, deprivation, and certainly fear, a lot of fear. Can you imagine the dark, dirty, and damp first century prison cell of King Herod? And there sits our hero, John the Baptizer. In last week's lectionary, if you're following the lectionary text, John the Baptist was full of prophetic enthusiasm, warning sinners to realign their lives with the vision of God's coming kingdom. He was confidently hurling words of judgment and impending doom at religious hypocrites, calling them broods of vipers. And now this week, he's in King Herod's prison cell. The prophet John the Baptizer has been waiting and preparing for a lifetime for the arrival of Israel's Messiah. This is John's mission, to prepare the way. And John knows deep down to the core of his being that he's been personally sent by God for this message. His task was to prepare and announce the arrival of the great King Jesus. And this task gave John such a boldness to even say, you brood of vipers, to religious leaders. And now here he is in prison. Now let's not forget, John is the one who baptized Jesus in the Jordan. This is the same John who saw the opening of the clouds and the voice from heaven declaring Jesus to be the Son of God. And so we have to wonder now for John sitting in there in that dark prison, feeling hungry and maybe alone and cold. And maybe fear starts to creep in for John at this time. Maybe some doubts start to creep in. This same John who baptized Jesus maybe now isn't 100% sure who this Jesus is. Is Jesus who he says he was? Things are not turning out the way he expected. John maybe was wondering at this moment, why wasn't Jesus establishing his holy kingdom right now and obliterating the Roman occupiers? How has King Herod not had his judgment come to him? And here I am sitting in prison. Why wasn't Jesus dealing with that whole bad lot and bringing his judgment now? And here I am in misery and fear. Why is Jesus eating with the very sinners I thought he was coming to judge? Surely the Messiah would avoid sinners. And John, maybe he had even heard from that prison cell that Jesus was even eating with tax collectors, going around and offering mercy and forgiveness to the most undeserving. There was a different song being played from what John was expecting. And that's the place where we find us in the text this morning. John had just one thing he wanted to know in that moment of challenge. Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? And then I imagine he sat in that prison cell and he waited for Jesus to give him the definite answer. Yes or no? I love this story because John the Baptist in this part of the Bible for his authenticity, his honesty, his questions. In those moments of doubt and fear, he just simply asks, are you the one? Because it's not making sense to me. I know I should believe and have faith, but right now, in my fear, I'm not sure if you are the one. John the Baptist can certainly, we would imagine, understand the focus statement this morning that was read for us. O Lord, what am I waiting for? Why am I afraid? I see my need for your strength in my weakness and my need to be filled with your courage in the midst of all my fears. I long for an awakening, for a renewed trust, and for patience in the coming of the Lord. This story is also great because the writer, as they were writing here in Matthew, as Matthew was writing, you know, could have said, I don't want to include this part of the story. Because do we want to include parts where people have doubts about if Jesus is the one? Do we want to put that in? Yes, Matthew did include this in the narrative. Because there's a space here for the questions, for the fears and the doubts. John the prophet, the baptizer's question is our question this morning. The struggles and fears for John maybe is some of our own fears and struggles this morning. Even for followers of Jesus for 80 plus years or longer here at Whitmer Heights, maybe even you can enter into the fears and doubts and questions that John the Baptist had. And so this morning, what is the answer that was received? And might that also be one of our answers this morning? Well, in verse 4, Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Maybe what is just as significant here as what Jesus says to go and tell them is what he doesn't say. What does Jesus not say to go back and tell them? Go tell John, I can't believe you would question me. This is embarrassing, John. You baptized me. And now you're questioning if I am the one? That's not there. Jesus does not shame John for that question. That's important. That's very important here. It tells us the kind of Jesus the Messiah is. He gives incredible words of good news to John to be sent back. In my kingdom, there is deliverance, freedom, shalom. There's good news, the most holistic understanding of goodness imaginable. The response that's sent back is very similar to Luke 4, 16 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, the regaining of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Go and tell John. I understand you're fearful. That doesn't say that in here, but I imagine if that maybe is what Jesus was thinking. I understand you're fearful. I understand you have doubts right now. I know you're in prison and you're in a really hard place. I know you have questions. In your doubts and in your fears, remember, I am the Messiah of deliverance, freedom, and good news. Can you hold all of that together at the same time? And he gives more words of incredible affirmation and love to John. He says to the crowd in verse 11, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." It's pretty incredible that these words is what he gives to John after he's been questioned if he's the one. So, holding all of that together in the biblical text and then kind of asking, what might look like this for us today? So what? Here we are in Advent 3 in Lampeter Township at Whitmer Heights Mennonite in Lancaster County in 2019. What does it mean to hold in our fears the honest questioning God? What are you waiting for? Come save me in my fears and doubts. How do we express our fears, our doubts, our anger in healthy ways? Because Jesus here doesn't shame John for those. He gives a space for it, honestly. And then he says, "I'm a God of good news." And you have to hold all that together for John the Baptist. And so I was left kind of questioning this. How do we give a space for our fears and our doubts? And how do we also put our trust in a God of good news and deliverance? How do we give places, though, just to express what we're feeling? How do we get those fears out in healthy ways? Over the Thanksgiving weekend, Emily and I took in the Mr. Rogers movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Has anybody seen it? I see some hands. I loved it. The movie shows Mr. Rogers to be a deeply spiritual person who prays regularly for others by name, spends quality time with the children. There's this one scene where they're trying to like rush Mr. Rogers because they have to get to the next scene. And there's Mr. Rogers just spending quality time with this child, not rushing away. And like they said, this is normal. Like, everything gets way behind because he just spends all this time with the kids talking to them. So he's a deeply spiritual person who prays regularly for others by name. He requests intercession from the children and genuinely cares for the people he encounters in a way that just doesn't even seem impossible. He seems like an otherworldly person. He's so good. But one of my favorite parts in the movie, and I won't give a spoiler alert of everything, is the reality that Mr. Rogers also has fears, doubts, and questions and anger. It's not like he didn't experience those things. He's human. But how did he express them in healthy ways? How did he get it out? Well, this is how he got it out. Thank you. But it was such a beautiful and powerful scene because there in the studio, Mr. Rogers, all alone, and we don't know what was going on in his mind, but we know he was in a hard spot and he's just pounding that piano away. And I thought, wow, there's something there. There's a space for it. And that's what our text gives us this morning. A space for it. I shared a quote 2 weeks ago from Dietrich Bonhoeffer about Advent. Advent is about creating people, new people, being born again and again and again. Where am I being created anew, being born again, right here, right now in Advent? As we eagerly anticipate the Christ child, and next week, we're in Advent 4, but we're also celebrating Christmas next week because it works best for when family's here. So next Sunday is Christmas Sunday. How is Christ breaking into your life in Advent? Where are you being challenged to grow this morning? In your fears, in your doubts, in your questions for God, there is a space. And there's also an answer. I am a God of good news for all. Let us pray. Thank you this morning for this incredible story of John the Baptist in prison. For this place where even for John who baptized Jesus isn't 100% sure in his questions and fears. Thank you for the incredible response that Jesus gives. The God of deliverance and healing and good news for all. This morning may we hold all of that together, Lord. We give you thanks that you are the God in Jesus of good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.